Yes, you heard that correctly. That was a moment of silence for Phil. Phil is missing again.
Phil the Fabulous.
Somewhere, I don't know, tripping around the world.
He's on a mission trip. He's helping teaching in school in a country far, far away.
So welcome to the Perfect Storm without Phil. It is Morgan. Morgan, welcome, Morgan.
Thanks, guys.
And Justin here today.
Good to see you all.
Good to be here, I think.
It's going to be a good show.
Apparently. What do we, have we got any good comments?
We've got some good ones.
We love to hear people tell us we're wonderful or not at the start of every show.
Yep. We'll start with Cassandra. Beautiful show, guys. I'm loving the group of four better than three.
Sorry, Cassandra.
Sorry
broken
for this week.
Broken your heart.
Have you got any good comments to start with?
So what else have we got? I'll bounce around. I'll give you some good ones. Justin's knowledge is good. So he'll take any endorsement that he gives regarding dogs.
Mom. Good on your mum.
Is that a comment from mum?
If Justin's mum is Nick H 5587.
I think it is.
What else have we got? Fantastic idea putting Kyle in the middle of the panel. Just gives a good balance, Cassandra's saying. So well done.
The rose amongst thorns.
That's right.
And Cassandra loves it when Morgan preaches and when Lorman does as well. So, Justin?
Yeah.
Okay. More preaching,
let's
boys.
Go again.
More preaching.
Kyle, feel free to today also.
Gosh. Wax on.
What else have we got? We've got some other ones about asking how Leah Stewart's recovery is going. Any update, guys?
You know, I haven't really heard anything the last week.
The last thing was a message. They were having trouble with the GoFundMe platform and all the replies. And, yeah, Josh sent sent a big message just thanking everybody and saying that there'd been some hard days, but, you know, overwhelmed by all the support and positive messages. And to get through those hard days, she's apparently just sitting there scrolling through and reading all the good messages. So, if you did want to reach out, she's really appreciating the messages.
Mm. Yeah, good. Yeah, I think people don't want to annoy the family. Mm-hmm. I don't want to, but I think infection is the great fear. That's, I guess, the constant message about the danger of infection. So keep praying for Leah.
Mm. Definitely. Shifting gears, a comment here about drone prices, Justin. The short-distance FPV drones are between $1,000 and $3,000 US, but the long-distance drones are between $55,000 and $200,000. US dollars, depending on the payload.
It's a good correction because I haven't acknowledged that these long distance ones are not the couple of $1,000 ones like we talk about. They've gone overnight. They've gone so far into Russia, they went 2,600 kilometers. Now, if you're in New South Wales, Kyle, I just was in Broken Hill on the weekend. Mm. G'day to everyone in Broken Hill. It's a long way from everywhere, Broken Hill. I think it would even go past Broken Hill from here, wouldn't it? That drone. That's incredible distances.
Mm.
2,500 Ks. Wow. That's what they're building. And apparently, and I've been corrected there by Trumpy, who put that?
Oh, that was, Trumpy. Let's find it. Trumpy won.
Trumpy won. And that's a triumph, by the way. He's corrected us. We thought he was a Donald Trump guy, but it's a triumph.
He could be a bit of a.
Trumpy one's correct. So thank you, Trumpy one. I haven't acknowledged it. They're spending significant money on these long distance ones. And the fuel crisis, boy, oh boy, are they in trouble. But keep on the comments. We'll come to that in a minute.
The fiber optic drones, the ones that use like the really fine thread.
Yes.
And it's left the cities just covered in
spider webs.
So the birds are apparently now making nests out of that fiber optic cable.
What pollution war does, eh?
Yeah.
What shocking pollution.
I mean, a few other comments. Cassandra is, made a comment about Ben Carson as well, thanking you, Justin, for asking him that question all those years ago.
Mm. Incredible man. He's one of the most incredible people I've ever got to meet. I had a meal with him.
Boris and I were sitting in the front row when you were up on stage there.
That interview.
Yeah. There were so many people in Memorial Church that the balcony was bowing and the deacon sitting up the front noticed that the whole balcony
was going to collapse. Didn't they try and get some people out?
They got a structural engineer in to assess everything and they put some parameters around how many people it could hold.
Oh, boy.
Incredible man. And, you know, I'll tell you a story. My dad was with me that day. My dad's not a church guy. He came along and he was in a tracksuit. He wasn't looking fancy or anything, far, far from it. Ben Carlson sat opposite my dad and spoke to him the whole meal.
Mm.
And my dad was, like, in the eyes of the world, he didn't even fit in there. But Ben Carlson treated him like he was a guest of honour.
Mm.
That's the sort of guy Ben Carlson is, and I'll never forget it.
Mm. Yeah. Mm, great story, Ben Carlson, of his life and his upbringing and where he is now.
Incredible,
let's,
man.
Let's turn to all things China.
Ooh.
China, China, China.
You didn't say it right. Try again. China? China?
China.
China.
China. China. China.
He's been, Trump has been cozying up to China with his comments recently. He's almost been complimentary.
His art of a deal, the way he rolls, if you watch, he'll do that to everyone he's trying to. He's even tried it with the Iranians recently, and then it didn't work, so he reverted back again.
Right.
But I don't read much into that. He does that in order to kind of get them to the table, and he makes out he's the best friends in the world with everyone, and that's his way of getting a deal on the table, I think.
Okay.
So what's happening in China, Justin?
Yeah, tell us.
Well, it's not in China, mate. It's in the Pacific. You know where the Pacific is, Kyle?
That would be us.
It's out there.
In the water.
East.
In the water.
Well.
Here we go.
They've had a submarine launch. You know, they said on the news, and you know, a relative of mine called me and said, there's been a nuclear bomb detonated in the Pacific. And I think, well, that's going to be good for eating fish, isn't it? But it wasn't a nuclear bomb. It was an intercontinental ballistic missile that often they can carry nuclear warheads, multiple warheads of one missile. They can just split off into like 10 different cities with one missile.
Right.
They launched one in the Pacific from one of their submarines.
Mm.
Why?
Why?
Why would they do that, Kyle?
It's a warning shot, is it? Is it a flex? I think
it's a flex. It's a, they call it saber rattling.
Mm.
You got your sword, you jingle it and make a noise with it and say, I've got a sword here. And they are trying to intimidate. Australia has just signed this massive deal with Fiji that if Fiji's attack, we'll defend them and vice versa. We've gone into levels of...
vice versa.
Well,
if Australia's attack, Fiji's going to save us. Us.
Hey, there's some good soldiers in Fiji, let me tell you.
I would trust the individual man. I just wouldn't trust the soldiers. The strength of the...
They may not have a lot of...
The size of the... How many jets can they scramble for us?
To our Fijian listeners, Bulavanaka. I love Fiji. Fiji is one of my favourite places on earth.
Paul's been there a lot, isn't he?
Yeah.
See, like...
Namakundri.
Paul could kill me twice before I hit the ground with one hit.
There's some big fellas over there. One of my most prized gifts on earth is a tambua, which is a whale's tooth. I have two of them. So I'm nearly Fijian. If I was a little darker skinned, you know, I'd pass. But
No.
The Fijians are good people, but we are entering all these treaties in the Pacific to block China. So what did China do? They send a sub in and they launch a missile up into the atmosphere to drop in the ocean somewhere just to say, hey, anytime we'd like, we can wipe you guys out. Thanks for that. We know who our friends are.
Good thing, like, Australia's really close with America right now for our protection, right?
Oh, that's so silly, our current government with their relationship with America. Get over the fact you don't like Trump. It's not about that.
Mm.
Without America, we are super, super vulnerable.
Boy, watch this space. Watch this space. If we're turning, I can't think of good segues today. Not
don't
yet.
Worry. Don't let's not do segues. Pressure, in honor of Phil,
take the pressure away.
They might come.
In honor of Phil, we will restrain from segues. Just hard cuts between topics is all we need.
Hard and rush cuts.
Yes.
Well, you ask questions we don't understand.
Russia. I read this earlier this morning. Where they're firing back in Kiev, the capital there.
When's it going to
end? Where all of their...
It's so silly.
their missiles and and other infrastructure is. And
so we've got some family here from Finland at the moment. I don't know if you know on the map.
Mm-hmm.
Finland is...
They border Russia.
A little bit close to Russia.
They share their border. And St. Petersburg's very close.
Well, it's very close. You can... There actually used to be a train you could jump on in Helsinki and shoot up to St. Petersburg and back in the day. And there was like this visa waiver thing.
Mm. How's that, Carl?
Yeah, that's a map.
There it is, St. Petersburg.
So anyways, apparently, yeah, five-hour queues for fuel. And so Finnish people used to actually go across the border to get cheaper fuel in Russia. That's sort of how that worked. So
they're not allowing that now.
They're not allowing that now. The borders are shut. But now there's, 5-hour queues for fuel in Russia because they don't have any, or they're running out because of their sites getting bombed by these drones.
They're like nearly 10 back. 5Ks, crazy lineups. Mm. Mm. And the people are getting angry with each other. Like, there's all these internet videos of people having punch ups at Russian fuel at the servo because they're getting so frustrated. They are, and overnight they're bombing them now way out into the middle of Russia, everywhere they're refining fuel. They're in a serious trouble. That's why America's announced Poland is potentially going to be invaded by Russian forces, ground forces. So much the enforcer has put on it, it's a channel I watch. They've announced today that America's placing ground troops into Poland.
Mm.
They're mobilizing. They already have bases there, but they're mobilizing.
Why would Russia be going into Poland?
What are they going to do? They're running out of fuel.
Mm.
Their supply lines are annihilated. There's no way that they seem to be able to stop these drones. Mm. They lost these two intercontinental air defense things, the best ones they got overnight. They've lost 3 or 4 planes again. They lost tankers are coming from India to carry fuel.
Really?
And guess what? The drones blew up 2 tankers overnight.
Oh, boy.
On the ocean. They can't take a trick. They're losing now. And what do you do if you're losing? Will Putin surrender?
No way.
Mm-mm.
You start throwing
He's not going to surrender. So what's he going to do? He has to take on a war now with... That will trigger the NATO if he invades Poland. That's how the Second World War started.
Mm.
But Russia's not in a situation they could fight now.
Mm.
They're getting depleted.
Tell me, what do you know about... I saw an article that I didn't read, and it was basically saying that the Russia-Ukraine war and the Iran-US or Iran-Israel war are actually the same war. Did you see any of that?
So some people say we're already in the Third World War. These are the early stages of it. And there's an argument can be made when you look at the Second World War, how it started spasmodically in different parts. Mm. It started in Europe. And then it spread to the Pacific with the Pearl Harbor thing.
So China going to Taiwan right now would just be what we need to make that happen.
I think it'd put us over the edge and we would all agree.
Everybody would jump into something.
We're in a third world war. And in 2027 is their big reunification date in China's mind. So
that's where they want Taiwan back?
They do. It's an anniversary from when it first started. So. Yeah.
Musk Industries needs Terafab to be producing chips before Taiwan.
I don't know what that means. Yeah. Joking. Musk Industries is doing what they're doing. But make no mistake, folks, if you're just coasting along in life, the Russian people aren't.
Mm.
They are now feeling the effects of this war. Putin would have never dreamt it's got to this. The unforeseen consequences, the unpredictability of war, and now... He's got a population that's going to get that angry. They won't be able to run their economy. They were already economically a basket case. They're relying on oil. So what do the Ukrainians do? Blowing up every bit of oil infrastructure they can. So much so, Russia's importing oil from India. That's how bad they've got fuel. And the Ukrainians, they've sunk 2 ships overnight. What's going to happen next? Something. Because that I can't see Putin as the type of guy who's going to just bleed out here and then give up.
So traditionally there's a case for like keeping an old diesel 60 series around because they can't stop that with an EMP, like one of those electronic pinchers.
Yep.
Is there now a case for keeping a Tesla lying around for when the fuel runs out? You can just plug it in and charge it up. And
how's the power grid going to work? What's your Tesla going to do?
Solar panels?
Okay. Maybe. I don't know.
I'm just checking if the
I'd love to be able to afford a Tesla.
Script has flipped.
I'd love to be able to afford a Tesla.
Is that your plan, Carl?
No, no. I'm just asking. Just asking the hard questions.
Just say Russia uses an EMP, which is a nuclear weapon in the atmosphere, causes that electronic pulse that destroys every bit of electronics.
Mm.
What will the West do next? This is the danger of once you start using a nuclear weapon, you could be 30 minutes away from extinction.
Mm.
Because the West will respond. They can't help it.
Well, this is something that came up in a post. USA warns that Russia may stage an armed provocation in Poland, with the goal being to either force the West to choose between Ukraine or escalation.
Yeah.
Poland's pretty based. They don't seem to be super woke or super EU like.
They're like Hungary.
Yeah, they don't seem to be in on the global what's the word I want? You know,
globalism.
Globalism. There you go.
That's this globalism.
If you see the video, I was making good hand actions there on YouTube.
The fly in the ointment. Trump has tried to already stop this again and again. He's almost walked away. I think behind the scenes, the Americans are helping the Ukrainians lots. Elon Musk certainly is. England will not de-escalate. And there's all sorts of talk about how Russia will retaliate on England. There's talks of using even biological warfare on their cattle. I saw an article.
Hmm.
There's all sorts of stuff that Russia can do to get them into a lot of trouble. So watch this space, but please be aware, be prayerful that the world is – we just live now permanently like on the brink of a global conflict.
Mm-hmm.
We just do.
Mm. We see more signs of Christ coming being fulfilled in the natural world. Typhoons.
Don't we have you got some footage there?
Yeah, I do. I do. Here's the big one. They're calling it Super Typhoon Bavi, however you like to say it.
The
United States has has territories in the Pacific.
Right.
Like Guam and other places where it's hitting. Notice the ground winds.
It's off the Philippines.
Between 180 and 215 miles per hour.
So miles.
I don't know what that equates to, what, times 1.6. So you're bumping up potentially over 300 kilometers an hour.
Well, I watch this Kiwi weather guy, the weather channel on, I'm a weather nut on YouTube, and he stopped the forecast on Australia and he said, I have to show you this. And he went up and showed the typhoon in Asia. He said the lowest low we've ever recorded in human history is about 841, I think was the number.
Mm.
This was at 843 at the time.
Mm.
And he said this actually could break the record in human history for the most intense low pressure system we have ever seen. And, of course, at the same time over Tasmania is one of the highest highs that we've actually ever recorded in the low and high pressure. And, of course, the forces that go between them just get intensified.
Right.
So the weather is the El Nino is just gone supernova, this El Nino, which causes really hot, dry summers in Australia.
Mm.
That's coming towards us. We're getting lots of rain down here in the south lately, but the prediction is we're going into a dreadful thing. And they all will – everyone's – all of it's carbon, carbon, carbon. And
so we need net zero. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, that's the solution. But – Jesus predicted that before the end, the elements would really go crazy, the nature, and we're seeing that in ways. Mm. Whatever's causing it, it's happening.
Mm. There's another one too. his footage of one in China.
Just stop on that. The earthquakes can't be blamed on carbon. They can't blame earthquakes on carbon.
Why not? Maybe the temperature caused the earth to expand.
They'll find a way, won't they? Yeah, everything. Yeah. If you stub your toe, it's climate change.
Please, in the comments, tell us how the earthquakes were caused by the carbon usage.
The world is getting ready for something big, and it's not pretty what we're witnessing. And where's this one, mate?
Guangxi in China.
Look at it.
Yeah.
Look at that. There's a river in the street.
In the middle of the city.
You know, but just going back here, at least this comment here is saying that this is the one, the super typhoon, expected for all homes to experience significant damage or completely destroyed. These small little islands are just going to be completely taken out.
Mate, you can't build for that.
No.
That's too intense. Too intense.
Mm.
It's like that.
Our big tent wouldn't survive with that one.
Not talking about the big tent. We would, you know, if you get an earthquake over 7.5 to 8, most structures will fail. They just can't build structures to withstand those sort of forces.
Mm.
So that's where we're living. That massive quake that ended that big 2005, the big tsunami, I think there was a 9. That was just crazy. It's double the size of an 8. Mm. You can't, nothing can withstand that.
No. Costs a lot of money to try and recover from these things. And on the topic of money, Justin, that was a segue. How's the debt of the world going? Are we in a pretty place? You know, what's
happening?
You got
a debt clock you want to put up here for us, mate? Because this is live while you're doing this. So as we're recording here, recording earlier in the week this week because someone's going overseas.
Going to Russia.
The Americans are at the top of the list with $39.3 trillion. The percentage of debt to their GDP is over 100% there. It's 101. But if you go down to the fourth on the list there, Japan, their percentage is 255.
Hmm.
That's the ratio between the debt and the gross domestic product. We've got no one to blame for this except ourselves and our inability to actually.
Well, I don't know if you'd blame me, but maybe some politicians.
I'm talking about countries.
Oh, okay.
We vote for our countries, and we're talking corporately now. We're not talking personally.
Okay.
Mate, what excuse have we got that they're paying over $1 trillion interest America now annually? Put Australia up there, Morgan, because we're on the list. We're at number 12 in the world, I think, aren't we? We're now over $1 trillion debt. You can see our percentage GDP is 56%. So we're not up to 100 yet.
Not even up there with the big spenders.
No, UK is at 115. France is 129%. Italy is 153. They're almost getting up to Japan. The world's just swimming in debt.
Greece is going well. Everybody knows Greece's economy is wonderful at 163%.
So once you get over about 100 and 120, 110, there's no coming back. In history, there's been no coming back. So
what do you think a global financial reset would look like, knowing what we know about Bible prophecy and America being the last great superpower? How can they be so super if they're so far in debt? It must be a reset, or are they just going to work off the debt? Because Elon Musk says the only way is to work their way out of it. Like, increase the size of the GDP is his solution.
Well, there's a couple of solutions they have, and a lot of them are so nasty you don't even want to talk about them.
Let's start.
Well, let's talk about the happy one first. Let's be happy first. So the happy one is AI is going to bring so much productivity, and this is the robots and SpaceX, all of that stuff is going to be so wonderful.
The size of that IPO. Did we talk about the size of the SpaceX IPO?
They distract us now. We don't want to lead people astray. So just say their GDP is $32 trillion a year right now, and they want to get to, I don't know, what was it? Put that back up for us.
Well, if they doubled it, they'd be down to 50%.
So they're turning over $50 trillion a year as an economy, and then that debt is small.
Yeah.
So there's a couple of other things you could do, Kyle.
Yeah.
You could just let inflation go crazy and print. So, you know, the cost of everything to buy a car becomes like $1 million because dollars don't mean much anymore. Right. And so $39 trillion is got smaller in proportion because you've just printed money like a crazy man.
Right.
And that your debt shrunk, but your dollar's buying value, we're all absolute poverty because we can't.
Would wages go up?
Oh, they have to. They have to chase it and you never ever catch it.
Right.
And so a carton of milk would cost you $50 in that scenario. And that debt then doesn't seem so bad. So the debt you have on your house of $300,000, which seemed a lot back a few years ago, is now, well, no, that's sort of how much I earn every year.
Couple of weeks
my wages are that.
Mm.
But we are so poor in the process. So that's actually happening.
Nice little confession there about your wages.
No, I'm not earning $300,000 a year. What's actually happening, but, is our, the value of our dollars decreasing, which means your debt's decreasing.
Uh-huh.
But we all end up in such poverty place. And Germany, before the Second World War, is very famous. So you needed a wheelbarrow full of their dollars, the Deutschmark. There's a guy in this book, the where he shows a $500,000 Deutschmark note that could buy you a house in 1923, but in 1929 it could buy you a loaf of bread. So that it just devalued, and so therefore your debt devalues. That's one thing that is going to happen if they don't get a hold of this.
What's your prediction then on how this is going to pan out? Do you think there'll be a reset, a new dollar, like a new currency, or do you think that they'll increase GDP, or do you think they'll go the inflation route?
I think they'll probably revalue gold is what I think they'll do. They've got there's a lot going on in the background with gold with countries.
Hmm.
And again, folks, this is not the views of Faith FM. We don't know what we're talking about. But I think they're going to have to do something. They can't just let this keep running because it's just going to start to get ridiculous. And they're borrowing now to pay the interest. It's crazy. So if they can't grow they're trying to grow the economy, the supernova economy, so the growth just makes the debt look minuscule. But I don't know that AI is going to do that. I think it's a big bubble and it's going to burst.
Mm.
And then what options have they got? They could revalue gold because they're supposed to have 8,000 ton of gold or whatever it is, 8 ton of gold there. And if they revalue it, it's at $43 when they valued it. If they revalue it to like 10,000, 20,000 an ounce, then all of a sudden they have the money to pay back the debt just because they have the gold. And I think that's one. That's a real option. But this is not pretty.
I'd love to see some comments, actually, about that.
This is not pretty.
Want some more input from the audience on how we're going to get out of the debt and whether or not Australia is ever going to stop spending.
I need to give a little verse here, and I want to promote the book that we're promoting today, which is On Prayer.
Mm-hmm.
I'll let you pronounce the guy's name, Roger. Roger's last name.
Roger Morneau.
Correct. Morneau. Roger Morneau, his book on prayer. Prayer is so important, but in the little book of Timothy, Paul says, don't put your trust in riches, which are so uncertain, but in the living God. We all think that, okay, if we can own our house, this is how I grew up in Australia. If only we owned our house, we'll be safe. If only we have, $1 million in superannuation, will be safe. Nothing's safe.
Mm.
There's no such thing in this environment with that debt level. There's nothing that's safe. Your only safety is putting your trust in God.
Mm.
And getting a relationship with him through prayer is probably the most fundamental way you could ever do that. So if you want to put that book up on the screen, mate, for people to look at, if you have not put in for this book, we're urging you to do it today. How do they do that, Cole?
Simply text the word prayer. Is that the word we picked for this?
Prayer. Yep.
To 0482-082-876, and you will get a bot text you back because we're trying to increase the GDP of Australia.
Through AI.
Through AI. And the bot will text you back and get your details, and we'll have somebody deliver this book to you. So you text the word prayer to 0482-082-876.
I don't think AI can fix it. This is just me.
Mm.
On the simple principle that if I get a robot doing a person's job to make it more efficient, that robot doesn't go and spend money with his wages. And therefore, the economy doesn't grow like if I put on new employees and they go and buy houses and cars and everything. The actual technology itself doesn't consume. So therefore, it's not going to grow the economy to the extent they're thinking.
The industry,
in a real simple way.
The industry expands and the industry needs people to run the industry.
Does it in that environment? But there's no, the consumers get less,
repurposed into other roles. Like, just like they did when the computer started. When the computer's here, we'll work less days a week and we'll all have more time off. And look at us now.
I guess. I don't see it. I think it's a bubble.
Mm.
I think it's a bubble. Time will tell.
Mm. Well, the dot-com bubble was a bubble, but that didn't mean the internet went away. It just meant that things grew too fast.
AI's here. It's gonna change. I'm loving what it can do for me.
Mm.
But I'm just saying what it can do for the economy is yet to be seen.
Mm.
There's all sorts of predictions, and they're all glorious. Well, not all glorious. There's some doomsdays as well. I'm just saying, okay, it's going to really help us and make us more efficient and able to do more things, and so that should help productivity.
Mm.
But it's not going to help consumption.
Yeah, and I think like AI as a technology itself is not the thing. It's the different applications for that. So, for example, robo-taxis will mean that people are driving less, but that means that there'll be more people that are managing fleets.
Amen.
And doing other jobs. So it's all the other complementary technologies that are going to leverage the AI to do different things.
As we wrap it up, where's the hope coming from?
From Morgan.
Not from AI.
Morgan.
From me. We see all these things. I share this verse last
week. We're going to need your face on the screen if you're going to share hope. Yeah.
Oh, well, here we go.
Thanks.
I shared this verse last week. In Luke's gospel, his account on the end, that when you see all these things happening, to lift up your head because your redemption draws near. And prayer is something, and I just want to talk, you know, when the financial world gets out of control and people, they stress, they worry, they wonder where their next paycheck will come from and the price of everything. Money can do funny things to people, right? And I really like what you said, Justin. One of my favorite Psalms speaks of how we trust not in chariots and horses, but we trust in the Lord.
Mm.
And that's where our trust needs to be put, in him. He promises to provide for all our needs. We've got the book there that we'd love for our listeners to get a hold of, but wanted to draw everyone's attention to Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, where he speaks on treasure, not laying it up on earth, but in heaven, knowing that that's something in a place where moth or rust doesn't kill it or destroy it, or rust it out, but he's got that eternal treasure for us. And so want to leave that as a point of encouragement for our listeners as we wrap it up.
Cool. I'll see you next week, guys. Are you going to be back, mate? Are you going to be in New Zealand?
Yeah.
You'll be back
Monday.
Enjoy New Zealand, mate. You're like soccering away at the moment, aren't you?
I'll be here.
Who's going to win this thing?
Let's do a dark horse. Let's go Norway.
Did you see the Viking dude?
Yeah.
Score two goals.
Mm.
And he earns $1 million a week.
Is that Erling?
I don't know. He's a big ponytail dude.
Yeah, I think it's Erling.
He looked like a Viking.
I'm probably pronouncing that wrong.
I'm not that much into soccer, but I kind of like that dude.
Yeah. You got a little man crush?
Pretty Vikingy.
Pray us out, Kyle.
Well, not after that comment.
Now you need it, mate.
All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for an opportunity to discuss the ways in which we can see your signs drawing near. And, yeah, we think of these terrible wars and these natural disasters that are happening. And Yeah, just the amount of pain and suffering and death is just quite unfathomable. So we ask that your presence would be with these people, that that you would draw near and that you would draw all men unto you. We pray that you would help us in our lives to lift you up so that more could be drawn unto you. And we ask that for every one of our listeners this week, that you'd give us, and this weekend, as this airs on Friday, please give us an opportunity to lift you up so that all men can be drawn unto you. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Morgan.
Thanks, guys.
You carried
that well.
Thanks,
guys. Good job. See you next time, mate.
We'll see you next time.